Bibles, please, to Paul's letter to the Colossians. Chapter 1. Reading from verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is a praise song that belongs to the children of God. Those who know God as Father. You'll notice that in this song we reach the highest heights and we have the lowest depths. There's nothing higher, nothing greater, nothing more thrilling than to be able to look into the face of God and say, Father. And I know of nothing more dreadful in all the universe of God than S-I-N, sin. And what the gospel does is takes us out of the middle of sin, S-I-N, and bring us to the Father's heart as S-O-N, Son. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And Paul begins his letter to the Colossians with first a preface in which he tells them that there is an inheritance, and then a prayer in which he asks that they might enjoy all that is theirs. And then we have this song, a praise song. Now, angels cannot sing this song. There's a song that a dear brother in the Lord loved and sang it very much when he was in Grand Rapids, Brother St. John. And the song went like this, holy, 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 is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption story, angels fold their wings. For angels never knew the joy that our salvation brings. They sang when the Lord Jesus created the universe to the praise of God. They joined together in that song led by the chief musician. They sang at his birth. They didn't sing at Calvary. They gazed upon that scene aghast. To think that creatures would take the Creator, their Lord, their Master, before whom they bowed in adoration, and put nails through his hands and feet, and put him to open shame on Calvary's hill. When the heavens withdrew their light, God forsook the one who always did his will. All creation trembled when the Creator hung on the cross, nailed there by his creatures. And only cruel, heartless men could gaze at that scene without a quiver. In the portion we read this morning, our brother didn't read it all. And sitting down, they watched him there, unmoved by that sight. And to this day, the story of the cross finds no response in the human heart until that heart is touched by the Holy Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't understand. The natural man has no desire. The natural man loves the darkness in which he is. And he can't understand the things of God. It's only by the Holy Spirit of God that we are led to see beauty in the pierced one. There are those who repeat the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," but they're telling a lie. They repeat the prayer and they've never known the grace that brought them to the heart of God, where they can look into His face and say, "Father!" And He looks into our faith and says, "Son." The first name of our Lord Jesus Christ, before His Christmas name, Jesus, and before we have Him as Israel's Messiah, Christ, was Son. Before the pendulum of the time began to swing, God found all His delight in the one who was His eternal Son. That relationship is eternal. And way back yonder in the councils of God, it was decided that there would be those who shared with His beloved Son that relationship, that blessedness. And our Lord Jesus Christ is bringing many sons to glory. Thank God I'm one, are you? Thank God I can sing this song. Giving thanks unto the Father. Now I'd like to notice five things here that characterize the children of God. What a wealth of blessing we have here in this praise song. Let me read it again and then we'll look at it verse by verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, one, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Second, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Third, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, or the Son of His love. Fourth, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I think we have a lovely illustration of this in the story of the prodigal. He knew what sin was, tasted it in all its bitterness, in all its deception. But the story ends with the prodigal in the house of the Father, with the singing and the dancing and the feasting. What a difference. And I think in our portion for this morning, we have the story. I want to suggest, as we go from the end of our song to the first note in it, that we have the rags and the ruin needing the forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins. He confessed, "I have sinned, I have sinned. I'm going back. I've sinned against my Father, I've sinned against heaven." and our sins need forgiveness. But there's something more than that, and that's redemption. We who sinned, when our sins are put away, we need to be brought back. And there's redemption. And out of the far country, we have the prodigal coming back. And deliverance makes us think of the slavery in which he formerly was. We too were slaves to sin, gone far from God. We needed forgiveness, our sins put away. We needed redemption, we ourselves purchased. We needed liberty, brought out of the land of bondage. And the fourth thing was translation, the arms of love. And the Father didn't wait until he was in the Father's home. As I was, the Father sought me, found me, threw his arms around me, planted the kiss on my cheek. He loved us when we were unlovable. And then he was going to have the prodigal in the house, and he couldn't take him. He could love him in all his ruin, with all the rags, but he couldn't have him in the house like that. And as we see, he made us meet. The Father says, "Here, son, I took the best robe to put on you. I've got a ring of acceptance to put on your finger. I've got shoes, and I'm taking you to my home." Oh, think of those arms of love around him, and then think of the best robe, meekness. And then partakers. When he came into that home as the Father's son, there were those in that home, musicians, dancing, feasting. And we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And when we, the prodigals, reach the Father's house, all heaven will rejoice. The angels. And that song of redemption, that song of praise, it begins with the prodigal singing. And it reaches the utmost bounds of the universe of God. For we join the singing that he leadeth, loud to God our praises bring. And the song that begins with the prodigals being brought back to the Father's house, the echo of it will go out to a redeemed creation, and the time is coming when the entire universe will say, "Thanks to the Father." For the Father and Son idea is all through Scripture, of whom every family is named in heaven and earth. We have organizations. Scripture has only a family. We are brethren. It's the family idea all the way through Scripture. And won't it be wonderful when the family's home? And when our Father will give his name to all creation. You know why my name is Peter Pell? My dad gave me that name. Sure, that's how I got it. I didn't choose it. And Paul tells us, of whom every family is named in heaven and earth. God is going to put his name on every family except those who can't sing this song, who've never known him as Father, who've never trusted his Son who came from the heart of God to bring us to the heart of God. But I better watch out or I will lose my reputation stopping on time. That was supposed to be introduction. All right then. What's the first? Well, think of the glorious company of saints and the inheritance that is ours. We have an inheritance. Israel had one. But there's a song we sang as a boy, I never forgot it. When I sat in the gospel hall, I'm a real gospel hallite. I sat on my father's knee when he taught the Bible class. I was 3 years old. That's some reputation, isn't it? In the Bible class, three years old?
I was there too.
You were too. I didn't see you. Fairer than Canaan's land, heaven so bright. Glory on every hand, no cloud, no night. God's word doth well declare what makes that place so fair. Would you like to know? Jesus himself is there. All is light. But we'll give thanks to our Father. If you read the history of Britain, and I'm not up on that too much, maybe I'm wrong, but they had what they called the Bill of Rights. And King John, they faced him, these lords, 100 of them, and he challenged them and said, "By what right do you claim these lands?" And from 100 scabbards, we raised 100 swords, and they said, "By these we won, and by these we'll keep our lands." Well, I want to address those saints in life. Mary Magdalene, Saul of Tarsus, John Bunyan. Oh, I wouldn't want to name them all. By what right are you there? How come you're up there? And you got that inheritance and you're heirs of glory? How'd that happen? Did you get that by your good works? Did you get that by your determination? And I see them all step off their thrones and take the crown that decked their brow, cast them at the feet of the Lamb once slain. And they say, "His precious blood alone is our title to glory. No other claim. No other claim." We owe it all to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank God. His blood purchased heaven for us. That's why it's an inheritance. You know how you get an inheritance, don't you? I remember when I went through my dad's files and his papers and everything else when Mother took a trip downtown and I had to take care of the children. And I thought, now I know we got rich well relatives in the old country. And so I'm going to see if some didn't make out a will. I heard about a will, you know. When you can't keep your money for yourself anymore, then you give it to your best friends, but they don't get it. The lawyers get it. And I thought, well, I'll look and see. Well, at that time, I learned what it means to love the Lord Jesus, but not his appearing. I love my mother, but she came back for something when I had all those papers thrown out. I didn't love her appearing. And I didn't find what I wanted anyhow. Not then. I found it afterward. I found that a very wealthy person left all that he had to me. What do you think about that? That's something, isn't it? Huh? Well, I'm a multi-millionaire. Multi-trillionaire. I've never had an income tax man yet that could count all my wealth. You know who it was? My blessed Lord. I just read again Harry Morehouse. Wilbur Smith came when he was in Grand Rapids and he wanted the life of Harry Morehouse and I happened to have it. He said, "Well, that's fine." I didn't think there was a book in the world he didn't have, but he got that one. Harry Morehouse was a preacher and a real mighty man of God, although he had a very weak body. And a wealthy man said, "Harry, I've got you down in my will for several thousand pounds." "Why, that's fine. Thank you very much." But he said the man was healthier than he was. And he knew that just willing it to him, he wouldn't get it unless the man died. But there was another man that told him, "Harry, I love your preaching, and I've got your name in my will for several hundred pounds." And the man died. But he said the relatives got together and said, "Dad must have been senile to will all these pounds to that preacher. And what a preacher. Look at him. He doesn't even wear his collar backside too." "No, we don't. No, sir. He sure was senile." And the lawyers went away with him. He says, "My good friend stayed in the grave and didn't know anything about it." But if someone died and willed everything to me, the universe and all that's in it, everything that God created, it was his. And I've got the testament right here. He willed it all to me. But a testament isn't enforced unless someone dies. He died. He died. But bless God, he rose again to be the, what do you call it, the executor of a will? That's it, isn't it? That big word? Huh? Executor. Well, that's the book of Revelation. When our Lord just turns it over to us. Heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the heirs of glory were once the miserable slaves of earth. Yes, they were. And therefore, deliverance was necessary. He has delivered us from what? From the power of darkness. And don't forget that, my beloved. We sometimes think that we can make it so simple that folks understand it. We've changed the Bible to meet their mind and understanding. Every unsaved person is under the power of darkness. And don't forget that. If our gospel be hid, it's not hid because they don't get it simple. If our gospel be hid, it is hid in them that are lost, whose mind has been what? How can you tell a blind man the beauties of a rose? Did you ever try it? No. How can you tell a blind man of all the wonderful things that belong to us? One thing they need to know that they're lost, and there's only one who can save them. Point them to the Savior. It's not the explanation of Scripture that saves, it's trusting Christ that saves. You didn't say amen, but you should have. I like to have you agree with me. I like to have you right. What do you need? A person. Who's that person? Christ. Because that's what delivers from the power of the world. That's what sets us at liberty. Into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of love. I don't know whether you know much about kingdom truth, but I like this the best of them all. The kingdom of the Son of His love. Set free from the power of the world in order to know what it is to have the full sunlight of God's love. That's the kingdom into which I'm brought. That's the rule of love. Not Sinai, there was no love there. That was law. Do, 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 do. And I couldn't do a single thing that I was told to do. Now it's just keep yourself in the love of God. Sit in the sunlight. I have a class in Muskegon. I've had it there for 45 years. I go there on Friday afternoons. Some of you know the lady, Dr. Riley. No, that's right. This isn't Sarasota District, is it? That's right. She said, would you go with me to see the wife of the mayor of North Muskegon? I said, yes, I'll go. So we went there, and she was in the sunroom. There's windows on all three sides. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm soaking in the sunlight. Well, I said, that's wonderful. You know what I came to tell you? No. I said, I want you to have sunlight. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now, you can never make yourself lovable. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But God loves. And out of the darkness, we come to one who loves us. God so loved the world. But he doesn't want us to stay in the world. He wants us to get to know him as Father. That saves us from the world, from sin, and everything else down here. So that we belong to him and sit in the sunlight. How do you like that sunlight? Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself so good, so nice that he says, well, brother, I just love you. Is that it? Brendan Sheeran said, huh? Isn't that what it means? No. Don't turn around and see your shadow. Turn around and see that face beaming upon you in infinite love. And keep yourself there. And don't let anybody take you away and say you need the baptism of the Spirit. You need a new experience. I've been preaching it, and I think it's absolutely necessary. The very moment you got saved, you got all that God can give you. And people are trying today to get you dissatisfied. Dissatisfied. And they got something that's going to make you satisfied. Nonsense. Satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. And God hasn't anything else to give you but Christ. Before there was anything, the Lord Jesus satisfied the heart of God. And we sing a song, I loved it. Love it. God is satisfied with Jesus. Now what's the next? Did you lie when you said that? Huh? Oh, no. You may try else. But only Jesus satisfies. So what is it that delivers us from the power of the world? A sight of yon blessed man in heaven. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. Two more points, 6 more minutes. What a price he paid for us. Redemption. Redemption. Had a good friend in New York, Brother Bellinger. And my brother had a lovely little stand for a desk. Redemption was the word. He put that on his desk. And he was one of the financiers in New York, Wall Street. And I forget the street he was on, but anyhow, right next to Wall Street. And he said he used to have a lot of fun with the men that came in there. Charlie, what you got that for? He says, you know, somebody bought me. Redemption. Redemption. And he said, I'll tell you something. I wasn't worth anything, and he paid the highest price that anyone could possibly pay. Redeemed by what? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Price of love untold. You know that story, don't you? Twice mine. The little fellow that lost his boat that he had made, put it on the river and the current took it, and then he saw it in the shop. And he said to the shopkeeper, that's mine. Well, he says, it may be yours, but I bought that from a sailor, and there's a price on it. You'll have to pay for it. He didn't have the money. Mother helped him out. And as he was leaving the shop, he has a little boat in his hand, and he looked at it and says, twice mine. First I made you, then I bought you.
twice mine.
His by creation and his by redemption.
Twice mine. Twice mine.
Well, now we get to the last. We belong to that vast company, the inheritance. We're heirs of glory, but once we were the miserable slaves of earth. We were delivered from the power of Satan and the power of the world. God gave His Son in His love. We're no longer slaves of sin. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid a price for us. Redemption. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. There's one thing He had to do before we could possibly be His. The forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Now my sermon is complete, but I'm going to step over time, not with a sermon, but with a story. Is that right? One noon, Dr. Keefe gave me a notice. Wish you'd see Mr. Cart. He's attempted suicide. He's very sick. And I told him I'd send you to see him. So I went there. I said, "How are you?" Oh, he said, "No good." Well, I said, "God loves you." He said, "If you loved me, I wouldn't be the way I am." "I'm disappointed with everybody." I said, "Are you disappointed with yourself?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I'm glad you heard. I heard that. I want to tell you that God loves you." "Well, why this and why that?" I said, "In spite of all the sin that's in the world, in spite of a world that left God and listened to the enemy, in spite of all God loves. How He can do it, I don't know. But He loves you." Well, I went a week after back and I looked at him and I said, "Say, you got a smile on your face." "Well," he said, "when you told me that God loved me, I never knew that before. I thought He hated me. But there's one thing that's not clear with me." I said, "What's that?" "Well, you don't know what a wicked man I've been." He'd been in the army, a colonel in the army. He said, "My past is a past of sin and guilt. What's God going to do about those sins if He loves me?" So I knew he had absolutely no background. So I said to him, "Well, you've been at the seashore, haven't you?" And he said, "Yes." Well, I said, "I'm going to take a little journey with you." And here we are on the seashore. And the tide is out. I guess that's right. I said, "We're going to walk to the water's edge." And we walk over here. And I said, "What have we done?" "We've left footprints behind us." "Well, how about erasing those? You erase yours and I erase mine. We don't want those footsteps there. What have we done?" "Well," he says, "you made a mess of it." "Well," I said, "lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And in passing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time." I said, "Nonsense. The footprints that we have made are like those footprints that we made now. Every step has been sin. Every act, not in faith, is a sin. The sins are there." But I said, "We stand back here and do nothing. We can't erase them. But the tide comes in. The tide comes in. And then it goes out, and where are those footprints?" He says, "They're all gone." I said, "The flood tide of God's love comes in. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We do nothing. Just see the flood tide of His love at Calvary. And our sins are all gone." "Oh, that's good," he said. "That goes all the way down. Our Father, how we thank Thee that thou hast made us the heirs of glory, joint heirs with thy beloved Son. And oh, what a thrill, what joy, to look up into thy face and say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, we adore thee. We, thy children, praise thy name. Chosen in the Christ before thee, we are holy, without blame. We know thy love now, Abba. We'll know thy heart soon. When our Lord Jesus Christ brings the many sons to glory, and we satisfy thy heart with children's praises in thy house, our home, forevermore. If there should be someone here this noon who cannot say, Father, looking up into thy face in this blessed relationship, our God, this joy can be theirs. By receiving thy beloved Son, they receive all that he is and all that he has for us. Again, receive our thanks, grant us thy blessing. We commend ourselves to thee in his own most precious and holy name. Amen.